Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, a stubbornly anti-Christmas show with absolutely no Christmas special. Not this week, at any rate. Stop that! In this week's Bar Humbug show, Orange is working on a televisual revolution across the channel. What is it with those French? They're constantly revolting. Apple's in the soup again after another claim they nabbed groundbreaking tech from some unknown nut. And we'll take a peek at some of next year's gaming treats. But before all that, let me introduce my co-host, T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Pleased to be here.
Jolly good.
It's very cold.
Chortling through all of that.
Well, I enjoyed it. That's why. I'm not just chortling to kind of give a backdrop to your intro. I always genuinely enjoy your intros.
Oh, good, good. Well, it's that time of the week again, Duncan. So let me ask you, what's been the dog turd on your flip-flop this week?
Well, I'll tell you what's been the dog turd on my flip-flop this week, Dan. I just saw this in The Guardian this morning, but it's a story that's been running all week, apparently, that I've not noticed. Because I've been very busy, because I have work. And it kind of summed up everything that's wrong with humanity, I thought, pretty much. But it basically touches on a number of things. And because Apple have had to recently pull, or at least adjust, an advert for the iPhone.
Yes.
Where they'd, it shows you somebody whipping something out of their pocket and then like a sort of 9 gigabyte attachment downloads in 3 seconds and you're playing back,
There's a little disclaimer now at the bottom, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And the reason is because of this chap who has written an article for The Guardian. And it was somebody who was annoyed by the customer service he got after his iPhone had been nicked. So he complained about the advert. A number of other people complained about the advert as well, but only this
that
guy.
That was the reason he complained about the advert, not because the claim was ridiculous.
No. He was annoyed by Apple. So he looked out for something he could get them back with.
Oh, God.
And it was this piece in The Guardian, and I find that if you read it back in a stupid voice, it makes my point very well, which is... In August, I noticed a TV ad for the iPhone that had a user surfing the web, then switching to email and opening an attachment of what I knew to be a totally unrealistic speed. Which is true, which is a fair point. So firstly, Apple shouldn't have, they mess around with the concept of reality all the time, Apple. And then this guy is kind of a tosser because he looked out for that and then pointed it out. And then the first comment underneath... I hated him. I'm like, Apple are bang out of order there. And then I read the piece and I was like, oh, this guy's a moron. And then I read the first comment underneath and I hated this person the most. And he said, you got your replacement and so you continue to act like a child. Of course, Apple would have to shorten the sequence in a 30-second commercial. If you don't like Apple products, I suggest you get a BlackBerry or a Google phone.
Oh my God, not a BlackBerry or a Google phone.
Because... the Mac community has no time for haters.
Oh, God.
So I think everybody involved should go and kill themselves.
Yes.
And make the world a happier place. That's Roger Browning, who wrote the piece. Apple, who was basically basically the fault. And then Kali Yuga on The Guardian's website should immediately kill himself.
I see.
Or herself. Could be
That's
a girl.
Sort of like being exiled.
Although I very much doubt it.
It's sort of like being exiled from Rome, really, isn't it? You know, if you have to leave the iPhone and get a BlackBerry.
The iPhone community. Just the idea of an iPhone community. You just bought something. It doesn't make you part of a community.
Never mind. Now, things have been happening over at Orange this week on both sides of the channel.
Yes.
First things here, they're giving away PS3s.
Yeah, giving away PS3s. Hard to know who's the most desperate there. Orange wanting people to sign up for their crappy service, or Sony wanting to dump their millions of unsold PS3s.
I think it says something about both of them, really.
You can tell I've had a 2-pint lunch. because everybody I know who's... I've had the good fortune not to use Orange since they were bought by... Right. Whoever it was that bought them, at which point they became slightly less impressive.
I haven't used Orange since they took away my press sim.
Yeah, right.
Back in the days when mobile phone companies used to give journalists SIM cards.
I know. I lost a lot of respect for mobile phone companies when they stopped giving me unlimited free stuff. I think that was a big mistake on
Absolutely.
Their part.
Yeah.
No, but everybody I know who uses Orange is always moaning about their customer care and all the rest of it. That's not to say they're a bad company.
No.
If anybody who's from the legal department of Orange happens to be listening.
Yes.
I'm sure that my friends were misguided. But it just so happened that everybody I know does seem to think they're not that great. And then, It doesn't say anything great about their service when you have to give away something that retails for 250 quid. And then also the fact that that same thing that retails 250 quid is being handed over by Sony.
Yeah.
Who, last time I checked, didn't have any financial interest in Orange.
No, I mean, clearly they're sort of giving these cheap to Orange to give away, presumably.
I guess it's either that or dump them in a great big hole in the ground.
Some sort of deal. Yeah.
Because they're not going to sell them any other way.
Dear, dear. Meanwhile, back in France...
where they're called Orange.
Orange. Home of Orange. T3 was at the Orange La Collection.
That's the collection.
Yes.
For anybody listening who doesn't speak French.
Yep. Autumn, winter, either on... I'm not going to translate. Events this week.
What are you going on about?
No, I don't know. Some interesting announcements of a televisual nature were there, though.
IPTV.
Yeah, it's the
That
future.
Was big news 12 months ago.
It was.
IPTV, that was going to be the next big thing.
BT are still desperately trying to flog this, aren't they, with those adverts. But Orange have jumped on the bandwagon.
If you can call it a bandwagon, it's more of a band smart car that's had its tyres let down.
This is a bit of a twist, though. It's Orange Cinema Series. It's going to launch in January in France. It's going to be €3 a month, which is pretty damn cheap, really. It'll have the reason for that is because it only has five themed movie channels plus your standard TV.
What are the themes?
I have no idea. I don't know. Probably
are they all French?
Yes, so film noir.
Yeah, Jacques Tati comedies.
The whole of the Pink Panther.
that well-known French series of films.
With Inspector Clouseau.
Anything with Gérald Depardieu.
Absolutely.
Manon Desos.
Yeah, yeah. So there, I think we've come up with three themes already, have we? Yeah, so two
approximately.
More. So anyway.
The other two are not washing and this is not bitter resentment of the English.
These are not the unique aspects of this service.
Oh, okay.
The unique bit is going to be a live box Wi-Fi router. Okay, still so far,
router.
So normal. And then a series of set-top boxes. So you'll have your main one, which presumably, I don't know, will do your sort of Sky Plus, V Plus record stuff.
Yep.
Then one in your kitchen, which is exactly what I would.
If I had a TV in my kitchen, that would be very useful.
Well, I do, and it does annoy me because I have to have a Freeview box, you know, attached to that, and I can't get Virgin.
No, that's good. To be honest, I can barely get a kitchen in my kitchen, so the idea of having a TV in there.
But then, in addition, one for your laptop.
Okay.
So you can watch it on your laptop.
So like Slingbox.
And we're still not finished. And it'll also, when you're at home, you're on certain handsets, it will connect to the Livebox router and you'll be able to watch telly on your phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, nip
so to... So again, like Slingbox.
Nip to the loo.
Slingbox.
You know, football's on.
Come back.
And no, you
watch
take,
it on your mobile. No,
take,
sorry, take your mobile
your phone
with you.
With
yes.
you.
Sorry, I wasn't going with
yeah.
you. Yes.
And then you watch, yeah, brilliant.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Or you could just do the usual thing of pausing it when you're going to the toilet.
Or turn the volume up really loud. So that when you hear a goal, you rush out and you've still got your...
Yes.
Anyway.
Or whilst, as usual in football, absolutely nothing happens.
Yeah, so you rush
you come
out
back and it's still 0-0.
It's a corner.
Or Chelsea are still
are
winning 5-0.
With, you know, loo roll dangling from your behind with your trousers around your ankles.
It's the footballing way.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, that sounds quite good.
You know, so that's
I think
that,
once
that's
again,
that
content is king.
Solved.
So if you haven't, if there's nothing worth watching, the fact you can watch it everywhere doesn't really help. But.
One other thing from Orange: high definition voice.
What does that mean? Like yours?
Very much like mine. Well, this is okay. Mobile phones yonks ago sounded a bit ropey, and then they improved them with e something or other. I don't know. Someone write in, tell us.
We had a letter of complaint this week saying, I do love the podcast, but you never actually get anything right.
Oh,
and you never research anything.
That's part of the joy of it.
I think that's why people like it.
Is it EFR? I don't know. I'm making this up. But anyway, but that was back in sort of, I don't know, 96 or something, and things haven't moved on since then.
No.
So, Orange have come up with high-definition voice. It's going to be embedded on selected Orange handsets from December 2000. So this is a year away.
Okay.
What it does, it doubles the standard spectrum for picking up the human voice. So it's kind of honed in specifically for humans. So if you're a dog, obviously this won't work.
What if you're a Klingon or a Vulcan?
Again, you know.
Forget it.
Yeah. Go to Vodafone.
Go back to Kling.
But it'll produce...
Wherever is the Klingons
well, they,
come from.
They reckon it'll produce hi-fi quality sound between enabled handsets. So if you've got two of these high-definition handsets...
Okay.
The quality will be high... It will be...
Hi-fi.
Hi-fi quality.
Okay, that's about the most retarded claim for a product I've ever heard, but...
Well, I thought that was a bit far-fetched, but T3.com
Not
says,
far-fetched. What's the point of it? I don't want to hear my friends
standing.
In hi-fi.
I think this is a brilliant idea. When we... Okay. When we...
Just being able to hear them will do.
But when we went live to Chris at over in Germany...
That didn't work.
That sounded
well.
Terrible.
That's
now
true.
We can have him in hi-fi quality.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Well, or I suppose if your friend was at a concert that you weren't able to attend due to illness, they could
hi-fi
just hold up their
streaming.
Handset.
There you go. I guess two uses in just, you know, a matter of seconds we've come up with that.
You'd get to hear them having their heads kicked in by security in almost unbelievable audio detail.
Yeah, I think this is great.
I think all they need... I think the thing about going for the human voice is the main thing, because I find the sound quality on phones is fine, except that everything in the background is equally as loud.
This also cuts out all the background noise, you see.
Because most people I know live in North London, so all the time you've got the sound of sirens, police sirens, people being macheted to death, gunshots.
Whereabouts in North London are you?
I live in Central London.
All right. Anyway.
So I don't get that.
Good.
A good thing. I'm all for that.
Okay, excellent. Well, that'll be coming in December next year in France, but apparently other networks are working on it.
Excellent. Next.
Well, from oranges to apples.
Oh, very good. Smooth.
I think, yes. Steve Jobs and co. are being dragged through the courts again, Duncan.
Who'd have thought it?
Who'd have thought it?
They are like, I know I've made this joke before. I know I made it earlier. I haven't made it on the podcast before. This is a new one for podcasts, isn't it? They're like in Michael Jackson was at his peak in the 80s. He was forever being sued by people who claimed to have written Billie Jean.
Yes, this is the Apple equivalent.
They're like the high-tech version of that.
So this all centres around all the multi-touch, essentially. Multi-touch navigation on websites.
And also the idea of having smaller versions of websites that are downloaded via a slightly smaller...
customizing
a different
content.
URL, a very slightly different URL. It seems like they're banged to rights on this one. It does appear that somebody else has the patent.
Well,
or at the very least has put out a press release saying they do.
Okay, yeah, quite. Okay, I think when you look at this top line, you think, someone else invented multi-touch or whatever, and think, well, crikey, Orange is in the crap now.
No Apple.
Apple.
We've done Orange.
We've moved on. We've gone from oranges to apples. Right. Actually, read the patent. Okay. The patent is, and I'll try and keep hold your attention here. A method and apparatus of simplified navigation. A web page is provided having a link to a sister site. The sister site facilitates simplified navigation. Pages from the sister site are served responsive to actuation of the sister site link. I could go on. This is not multi-touch navigation.
No, that's the other part of the suit, which is the idea of having a slightly... a bit where you strip out various elements to make it easier to view on a small screen.
Okay.
Because for a change, I actually have researched something.
The multi-touch bit...
Where the multi-touch bit even comes into that, I have no idea, because I didn't bother to research that.
Well, there is this bit. Apparatus and method of manipulating a region on a wireless device screen for viewing, zooming, and scrolling internet content.
Oh, that'd be it.
That doesn't really nail multi-touch. I mean, that's basically saying you can browse a web page.
No, that's just the pictures, because with patents, they always have... the pictures?
The diagrams.
That's just the text that goes with it, and then what you might well have underneath, although I don't know because I've not seen it, is a picture of a thumb and forefinger manipulating a page.
All you've got on this one is a diagram of a cloud with four boxes sticking out of it.
I must admit that was the picture I saw, and it didn't look conclusive.
I think they're on a hide into nothing yet.
Further down the patent application that we haven't seen. There's a very clear picture of somebody doing this, that, and the other with an iPhone.
Call me a cynic, but I think these guys are trying it on.
Well, I would call you a cynic. In fact, I will call you a cynic, just in case it is, because it is sub judice, and we probably
shouldn't. Orange have... Apple...
This case is going on in America, yeah? Yes. So we can't be in contempt.
No, we're fine, yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. Apple have come a cropper before, because Creative, of course, basically said they came up with the browsing system that's on the iPod, and Apple had to pay out a fortune.
Yeah, it's a weird thing with patents, because a lot of things that are patented are, at least with hindsight, very obvious ways of organising things. Yeah. Like the whole thing of like having a folder structure that's artist, then album, then track.
It's not rocket science, is it? It's just who patented it first.
Yeah, and apparently Creative did.
Mm, these patent trolls, I don't know.
Patent trolls.
Not the Creative are those. They did actually make a product, so good for them.
But at least Creative don't try and pretend that they can download 400 gigabyte attachments in 3 seconds, like certain companies.
That we won't mention.
I won't mention.
Okay, well, 2008 hasn't been so bad gaming-wise, would you say, Duncan?
I would almost say it's been a vintage year.
Vintage, yes. Grand Theft Auto
Since you
4,
ask.
Fallout 3, Call of Duty World at War. I could go on.
Yes, you could. I'm sure you will.
No, I won't, actually. Right. We want more, though. More.
Yes, we do.
Thankfully.
Well, just another game of Wii Tennis.
Thankfully, TT.com has been casting ahead to 2009.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we can expect from another glorious 12 months of gaming.
Well, it's still looking good. Lots of sequels. The thing about gaming sequels, they're usually better than the ones that come before, whereas film sequels, usually the opposite, with a few notable exceptions. It's like slow
decline. Toy Story 2 was better than the original, some would say.
Yes, Godfather 2 often held up as being a better film than Godfather 1.
But we digress.
Species 2, maybe not so good.
So, okay, you mentioned sequels. Any particular that you're looking forward to?
No. Oh. Having said that, I mean, the only thing, I am kind of looking forward to Mad World, which is like the sort of very violent game that's coming out for the Wii. But that, it's got very stylized graphics, and usually very stylized graphics equals crap game, in my experience. Like No More Heroes, do you remember No More Heroes? That was the last one that was like non-standard
visually,
Nintendo game.
Visually, this looks very good.
Well, it looks striking in stills. Like, I just can't picture myself navigating it through it in, actual moving.
It's like playing a black and white comic, essentially. In the same way that comics would, you know, when they did their print runs in newspapers, they might have two extra colors, so they'd have a bit of red and a bit of yellow. It does exactly the same. So the text, when you know the Batman style kapow or whatever, it's usually a bit more brutal than that. But that comes out in yellow, and the blood, when you see the blood, that's in red,
like,
and it's just very high contrast. It looks great.
Yeah, I suppose like Sin City or something.
Yeah.
Now, but the thing is, movies and games are not the same. No matter how many times people say, well, games are a lot more like movies these days. No, they're not. Like, no, you don't sit and watch a movie for 12 hours. And you don't... The only thing you have to do with a movie is sit and watch it. You don't have to move the characters through the, you know, the mise-en-scene, if you will. So I'm not sure. It might be an enormous pile of crap, in which case I apologise for saying I'm looking forward to it. But
okay, what it does, though, I mean, this pushes again the kind of ultra-violence boundary on the Wii. I mean, it kind of makes Manhunt 2 look like a game of hide-and-seek, really.
Well, Manhunt, yeah, but that's the thing. Cause at least it appears to me that Mad World has some kind of artistic thoughts going into it, whereas Manhunt 2 is just a sort of load of crap made by sort of sniggering schoolboys who just basically... It's like sort of running up behind somebody and shouting, Fanny.
Okay.
That basically is what Manhunt 2 is.
Well,
Mad World at least might be Tarantino-esque.
Okay.
Sin City-esque.
We've witted on about it. Let's have a listen to it. Let's have a listen to it.
Hello, party people. Let's watch some highlights from Death Watch.
Smash TV, wasn't it?
Wouldn't like to stand next to him and your urinal, was the immortal line, I think.
I'd take back everything I just said. That sounds like crap. Sorry. I do apologise. No, that sounded like Smash TV. You remember that game?
It sounded an awful lot like it, actually, yeah.
I was like, whoa, that was a big gun. I do apologise, listeners. Mad World is clearly going to be a massive pile of shit.
I'd
buy something else with your money.
Oh, all right. Well,
perhaps Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet, yes. From the sublime to the ridiculous. coming out on the PSP, we think.
Yeah, we think, and at the same time, don't really care. Interesting thing.
Really?
Well, Little Big Planet, that was meant to
be... I thought as a kind of a Wii fanatic, you'd like something like that.
Yeah, non-confrontational gaming.
Yeah, you know.
No, well, I've played it, and it's all right. I think, with hindsight, because this was meant to be the killer app for the PS3, and to be honest, I think, you know, like it's not setting the world on fire, is it?
Okay.
I think maybe people aren't that... People basically now are so violent... Society so debased, they don't really want to guide a little sort of hand-knitted fella around user-created arenas.
Okay, well, if you're not into that, how about God of War 3? Speaking of sequels.
I'm not mad on God of War games. I've got to admit, very repetitive. I find a little bit like playing Simon whilst on amphetamines.
I mean, this is making the leap from the PS2 to the PS3. And it's
a big leap.
It's quite a big leap, but it's always pushed the boundaries on the PS2. I mean, it's been one of those games that's really squeezed out everything you can possibly.
The PSP Well, graphically, yeah, and the PSP version as well is probably the best looking game on the PSP.
Well, quite.
But it's still a rubbish game in which you basically have to go like follow. It's like Dragon's Lair. Remember the old Dragon's Lair game where it was like, oh, we'll move the joystick up, down, then left, then right, and this will. One particular mini game in the PSP version I remember is you are in this sort of cell and you have to tap a sequence of buttons in order to have sex with a lady, which did strike me as about the saddest thing
it's a bit Leisure Suit Larry.
Ever seen.
Well, let's hear a snippet of it anyway.
Our victory brought order to the land. Now that order is threatened. The sacred halls of Olympus have been breached. Brothers, in the end, he will suffer. In the end, we will triumph. In the end, there will be only chaos.
Was that two people talking?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, listeners.
Yeah, at the end, it was him going, no, actually, chaos will rule.
I think maybe they should have hired more than one voice actor rather than getting the same guy to do two slightly different voices. They're always slightly fascistic, a lot of these big games at the moment. It's like, oh, we must bring order. Everybody must wear brown shirts and march in sort of serried ranks while saluting the same way.
A response to the credit crunch and global financial meltdown.
What, we should all become fascists?
Well, they tried it in 1939.
Well, yeah. I don't know. You heard it here first, listeners.
that wasn't a neo-Nazi call to arms, by the way. T3.com calls it absolutely stunning.
Yeah, but, Who from T3.com calls it absolutely stunning? Was it Tiny Boy
Mr. Warrington, I think.
Mr. Warrington? Who's he?
I don't know.
Warmington. Al Warmington.
That's him. Yeah, Al.
Okay, fine. Well, anyway, well, I'm not going to have a big argument with somebody who's not here about what they think of a game that's obviously rubbish, but...
Okay, well, one that we haven't actually seen anything of, but sounds promising. Velvet Assassin.
Velvet Assassin?
Velvet Assassin.
That's like some kind of ladies' home comforter, surely.
It does sound dubious. But this is inspired by a true story of a female World War II Allied secret agent.
Okay.
Makes for an intriguing stealth shooter, apparently.
Is that inspired in the same way that Tomb Raider is inspired by some woman who was once an architect?
I think it's going to be a bit more sophisticated.
An archaeologist.
I hope, anyway, it's going to be a bit more sophisticated than Tomb Raider.
Well, you'd hope so. Well, I look forward to that. I mean, but the thing with spying is it's very boring intrinsically, isn't it? You're just pretending to be somebody else and going to lots of parties and meeting people and saying, oh, that's very interesting, Mr. Goering.
A bit like that guy who tried to spy for Iran. Who got caught.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had seen.
He wanted a more exciting life. He was a translator.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just became
salsa.
A really rubbish spy instead.
Yeah, maybe if it's like that. But then how do you turn that into a 3D first-person shooter action type thing? Be interested to see.
It will be. Well, anyway, that's roughly all we have time for. Time only before we succumb to next week's tinsel and sherry trifle for your quickfire reactions to this week's last words, starting with Panasonic attempting 3D Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, 3D vision just makes you sick, though. That's the problem. You have to stand in a very precise spot to get the 3D effect, or otherwise
it's
like
otherwise
trying to cross
vomit.
Your eyes. Well, yeah.
That's unfortunate. YouTube goes widescreen.
Exciting news. People falling over in slightly greater depth. It's good for Americans.
There we go.
Because they're very fat, you see, widescreen.
Good. The Nokia Build, which is an option to customize the 7310 with your own artwork.
Well, it's no the 01 phone, is it?
What is?
nothing.
Acer planning a 10-inch Aspire 1, finally.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
That's like a laptop. Not, that's like a small laptop as opposed to being a netbook. 10 inches. That's what that
this
used to be the standard size for...
Yeah, but 10-inch screen surrounded by acres of sort of hardware, plastic, and...
If you're a fan of the Aspire 1, there's an entire supplement devoted to it with the next issue of T3.
Oh, there we go.
In 2 weeks' time.
Excellent. Did you have that snippet in there?
No.
Good. Everything you need to know about the Aspire 1, apart from the fact that a 10-inch one's coming
There's
out.
There's a slightly big one. With 3G built in. No, actually, we did. Sorry, I'm doing myself down. Or we're doing... I'm doing the magazine down there. Yes, good. We did mention that, and it's got 3G built in.
Okay, well, according to your responses, your secret Santa will be a female worker with a poor taste in desk ornaments. No time to mull that. Grab all the latest on T3.com. Find T3 on the shelves. And find us on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.